In our time remaining, turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 9. You know, the Lord has been working in my heart, especially when I saw the need in Moldova and when I started corresponding with Matthew and the Lord opened up for him to come here even to North Carolina. So this is his first taste of the Carolinas. So I think I'm going to give him a Tar Heel hat when he leaves or something. Just to see the need for the gospel and the gospel that could be planted there and the need for the gospel there is so precious and something that we should be always in our minds about. I was thinking about the kindness of God, and in our short time here, I just want to touch on a few devotional points on the kindness of God. The kindness of God should draw our hearts in worship and in awe of Him. And we should always be humbled that we are now children of God if we know Him in our hearts. We are children of God and we are blessed immensely. Sometimes we lose our wonder of God's grace and His kindness towards us, who were once lost and dead in the trespasses of our sin. And we need to continually be reminded of it to bring us to wonder and awe and worship of Him. You know, I picked up a small book by Charles Stanley on Mephibosheth, and I started reading it this month, and it was just something. I had tons of books in my libraries, but these little booklets you get at conferences, you never really pick up and read. You're like, oh, I'll get to that. But I picked it up, and for some reason I started reading it at the same time I was corresponding with Matthew. And I was just, my heart was reminded afresh of how blessed I am to be in the Lord. And I just want to share some thoughts with you. This is a story of God's outpouring of grace to an unexpecting soul. It was the showing of mercy and favor of the Lord, and it's a picture of the kindness of God towards us. This morning, we looked at Titus 3, 4 through 7. I'm just going to read it. But when God, our Savior, revealed His kindness and love, He saved us not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy, He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Ephesians 2, very familiar verses, Ephesians chapter 2. And you He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. If the story ended there, where would we be? But verse 4 says, But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Can you hear the kindness of God? Can you hear the outpouring of mercy that He has given to us? We're going to read this story here, and again, I'm just going to point out a few things, but it's such a picture of the calling of God, different aspects of God's grace, and what was the response to it. And I pray that in a few, you know, to apply it to our lives is, one, that you would fall in awe again, that you would fall in worship again to God, and two, that in response, what is our call, what is our obedience to it? And we're going to look at what Mephibosheth went through. It's kind of hard to say his name, and I guess that's why you don't hear his, you know, kids are not named after him anymore. But Mephibosheth was a unique character, and it was God's story of speaking of His kindness and grace. Let's read 2 Samuel chapter 9. Now David said, "Is there still anyone who is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba. So when they called him to David, the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" He said, "At your service." Then the king said, is there not still someone of the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God? And Ziba said to the king, there is still a son of Jonathan who is lame in his feet. So the king said to him, where is he? And Ziba said to the king, indeed, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Emil in Lodabar. Then King David sent and brought him out of the house of Machir, the son of Emil, from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, had come to David, he fell on his face and prostrated himself. Then David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, here is your servant. So David said to him, do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake, and will restore to you all the land of your Saul, to all the land of Saul, your grandfather, and you shall eat bread at my table continually. Then he bowed himself and said, what is your servant that you should look upon such a dead dog as I? And the king called Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, I have given to your master's son all that belonged to Saul and to all his house. You, therefore, and your sons and your servants shall work the land for him, and you shall bring in the harvest, that your master's son may have food to eat. Mephibosheth, your master's son, shall eat bread at my table always. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, according to all that my lord the king has commanded his servant, so will your servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table like one of the king's son. Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, and who dwelt in the house of Ziba, where servants of Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he ate continually at the king's table, and he was lame in both his feet. This Mephibosheth, hopefully after today, you'll never forget him. You know, he's the son of Jonathan, son of Saul, right? As we hear. And hopefully you remember the story, right? Saul, the king Saul, running after David, trying to kill him, right? And David, always trying to show favor, trying to, you know, speak to Saul. But you see here that it was such enmity between Saul and David. But there was a certain relationship between Jonathan, right? Jonathan and David. And I think that's unique, because here in this story, the covenant, the promise that Jonathan and David had was spoken out, was the result of what we see in this story of Mephibosheth. In here, let me just say, 1 Samuel chapter 20, you see, we don't have time, but 1 Samuel 20, David makes this promise to Jonathan that the descendants, your descendants, will be saved. Your descendants will have a name for themselves. And David promises this to Mephibosheth, and it's such a unique, you know, we can talk about the relationship between Jonathan and Saul and how special that was. But here, you see the result of it. And you see here the kindness that David outpoured, but a picture of God. Look at 2 Samuel one more time. 2 Samuel chapter 9. This first verse. Is there still anyone who is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? This whole chapter begins with the promise of Jonathan, what he made to Jonathan, and what he was going to, what it was going to result in. And we see here David, at, you know, a picture of God and what God did for us in showing kindness towards Mephibosheth. And there's different themes here, but you see the kindness of God, the kingship of David, and the result or the plan of outpouring of grace to Mephibosheth. And I just want to point out four little things here. Mephibosheth, right? He's the descendant of Saul. If anything, back in those days, you would wipe the whole family out, right? Once one family comes to power, you wipe out the rest, and or you don't want any of their enemies to come after them. Actually, we find later on in 2 Samuel that all the descendants of Saul were wiped out, but one, Mephibosheth. And that's later on if you keep on reading. But this is unique. Why? Why would someone, with King David, show grace, show kindness towards someone so undeserving? Think about Mephibosheth. He was in the land of Lodabar, right? At Lodabar, I was reading, meant a land of no pasture. You think about it, he was hiding. He was hiding because of probably what he thought David was going to do to the house of Saul. But David, a man after whose own heart, God's own heart, wanted to show kindness because of this love that he had for Jonathan and the relationship. For Jonathan's sake. Can we not hear God saying that to us? Because of Jesus Christ, I'm going to save you. Because of Jesus Christ, I'm going to call you not just a servant. I'm going to call you a child of God. Can you hear the same story here? God pouring out his kindness and grace towards us. Think, and you got to think about this, and I broke it down into four different areas. The first area that God, you can see, hear the gospel in this, is the first part I said, the finding of the descendant, finding of Mephibosheth. And it was God's plan, his plan to redeem mankind. I call this kind of the fetching grace. He wanted to see if there was anyone else left from the house of Saul and Jonathan. And he said, is there anyone else left? And he called out to Ziba, are you Ziba? He said, at your servant, is there not still someone at the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God? And Ziba said to the king, there's still a son of Jonathan who's lame in his feet. Who would care? Who would care about a cripple? Who would care about, what was that brother's name? Moya?
Morayu.
Who would care about the man living in that kind of condition? Who would show him grace? Who would show him kindness? David sought to show kindness. What was his motivation? His motivation was to honor a promise and a covenant. Can we not hear of God's promise and God's covenant towards the people and towards his creation? You know, we find about Mephibosheth, his father was killed at 5 years old, and now he was 21 with his own son. You could only imagine Mephibosheth in his Lodabar little dwelling, thinking, oh, would David find me out? Would he wipe me out? And what happens? Ziba comes saying, the king has called for you. What would be going in Mephibosheth's mind? What would be going in our mind if we didn't know Christ and God came calling for us, exacting justice for us and our sin? What would be in our mind? God's motivation towards sinners. We didn't deserve any of God's grace, but he came searching for us. But the kindness of God showed towards us. See this fetching grace. Let me keep going here. David sought Mephibosheth out. He went to go, is there anyone else? Is there anyone else? You know, is there other sinners in our community? Is there someone that doesn't know the gospel? The next one we see is the calling of Mephibosheth. So he asked if there's anyone left of the house, and he's calling. It's the gospel call. He says, go get him. Go bring this one to me. It was a declaration of David. If you look in verse 5 and 6, then King David sent and brought him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar. Again, you got to remember, this is a cripple. It's a cripple. What good would this cripple do? Why should I show favor to him? Now, when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, had came to David, he fell on his face, prostrated himself. Then David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, here is your servant. The calling of the gospel, declaration. He speaks his name. David speaks his name and assures him, you know, I know who you are. You are the descendant of Saul. And I have your life in my hand. But what does David do? So David said to him, verse 7, do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake, and will restore to you all the land of Saul, your grandfather, and you shall eat bread at my table continually. David declares, and he unofficially, but in what he does, he officially adopts him as a son, right? As a king's son. Adopts him to his place of his father or grandfather, gives him the land, invites him not only to just take it, but to come and eat at the king's table. Come and eat at the king's table. You know, you think of the unequal parallel here, right? David ate at Saul's table, right? What did that exact him? What did that give him? It gave him a murder's notice, right? Saul went after him. You know, Mephibosheth could have been thinking, oh boy, what is this going to do? What is he setting me up for? But David wasn't thinking about that. David restored him to his place. Can you hear the kindness of God here? Can you hear I wrote down here, unconditional grace? Mephibosheth, probably the most undeserving of this. You wonder what all of David's soldiers and everybody else was thinking. But you hear the unconditional grace that was poured out upon Mephibosheth. God is clearly represented here in that just as David made the first move to rescue Mephibosheth, so did God see our need and provide it. Here in his love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son for us. Mephibosheth, what are you even thinking about it? But David sought him out because of whose sake? Jonathan's sake. Because of the promise. Romans 5:8. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. The cost of redemption. To David, it was only a piece of land and to uphold a promise. Whereas to God, it was the price of his son. And our inheritance is heaven. You think about that. Think about the kindness of God and what it poured down to us. You know, this third aspect, there's the finding of Mephibosheth, the calling of Mephibosheth, and the enriching of Mephibosheth. God's inheritance, pure and unmerited grace. And I want to kind of close and make this some application here. Mephibosheth falls at David's feet, right? And he said, here is your servant, right? What does he say? Here is your servant. Mephibosheth was saying, here's your servant. That's all I want to be. Or just don't kill me. He said, David gives him the inheritance of his family. Then and what was Mephibosheth's heart? And this is what I want you guys to focus on. He bowed himself and said, what is your servant that you should look upon him such as a dog as I, a dead dog as I? He was restored. And Mephibosheth's heart, can you see true repentance here? An image of true repentance here? He said in utter humbleness, Mephibosheth's heart was just, he couldn't imagine that you would redeem and place me on such a pedestal as this. And Mephibosheth's heart was nothing but, why would you bless me as such a dead dog as I? In Ephesians chapter 2, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. Like this dead dog. Dead in our trespasses and sins. Children of wrath. But God came and redeemed us. This is the story of Mephibosheth. Overwhelming, infinite grace was poured upon him. And you see the response of Mephibosheth's heart. Who am I to deserve this? As a dead dog as I. And what was Mephibosheth's life like? He ate at the king's table for the rest of his life. The inheritance of sinners as us is the eternal inheritance we have in Christ. And our heart should be as Mephibosheth's heart. Who am I to deserve this? And our response is just merited on that. Enriching of God's inheritance. Four times in this passage, he says, you will eat at my table. At the king's table. He would have Ziba, who had 15 sons or something, and multiple. Not only that, you're going to eat at the king's table. We, as sinners, have been blessed with so much more. We, as sinners, should, in response, react. Who am I? Who am I, a dead dog as I, to have such a blessing and inheritance? I bet he was one of the most dedicated David servants. Even when they killed the rest of Saul's descendants later in 2 Samuel, David still spared this one, Mephibosheth, because of the sake of Jonathan. Because of Jesus Christ, we today stand here. No, with our sin and everything paid for, we have eternity in front of us. To serve Him, to bless Him, to give the gospel out for His name and make His glory known. In Mephibosheth's life, we see nothing but the grace of God, the kindness of God poured out. Romans 5:17, "For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and His gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ." Again, Ephesians chapter 2. "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love in which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses," like Mephibosheth saying, "Who am I as a dead dog?" "Christ made us alive together with Him. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness towards us in Christ Jesus." As we leave here, I pray that the kindness of God is just encouraged, put upon your heart once again. That it encourage us to respond like Mephibosheth, "Who am I?" That You would bless us and live our lives for His glory. You know, people like in Moldova, wherever it may be, there are people probably right around us, our neighbors, that still don't know the kindness of God, the grace of God. And He uses us. He used David to outpour this grace and this kindness towards one that was hiding, that didn't even deserve it, didn't even know about it. And we, in the same way, are sitting like David, aren't we? To show grace, to show unconditional love. And we need to be about His business. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, once again, we, Lord, are humble to think upon Your Word and to allow the Holy Spirit, Lord, to press upon us, Lord, again, Your kindness and Your favor that You poured through David to Mephibosheth and to us as sinners, Lord. Such, Lord, grace, such kindness, Lord, we can never outpay, Lord, but we pray, Lord, that we would live our lives in gratitude. We would live our lives in worship to Your name. Lord, may we think of Mephibosheth. May we think about his lame and crippled life, but being exalted to the king's table, Lord. So as we, Lord, as dead in trespasses and sins, have been exalted to children of God, Lord, if we call You Savior. Lord, may we never forget that, and may we look to serve You because of this. Lord, we especially pray for Matthew, Lord, as he leaves to continue his travels, Lord. We pray, Lord, that You would lift him up. May he be strengthened and encouraged, Lord, to continue Your work on. Lord, I pray for his wife and their child to be born. Lord, I pray that You give her good health and strength, and Lord, let everything go well for the pregnancy. Lord, we pray that You just bless him, Lord. And Lord, if it is Thy will, Lord, that You would help us to come alongside and be of help, Lord. Help us to plan this trip well, Lord. May we plant our lives for this ministry, for others, Lord, and that You call us to. Lord, we want to serve You to You return soon, Lord. And may our lives be a fragrance unto others about Christ. We, Lord, thank You again for this time and this opportunity. In Your precious Son's name, O Jesus Christ. Amen.